Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. One of the big allegations in the wake of the Bridgegate scandal is that Governor Christie threatened to withhold Sandy aid from Hoboken unless Mayor Dawn Zimmer supported a development project represented by a top Christie aide. You know that story, right? She did not support it and says her city has been punished. The allegation is under investigation by the U.S. Justice Department. Well, now a WNYC, New Jersey Public Radio, and NJ Spotlight investigation finds evidence that Hoboken did get shortchanged on money to protect its infrastructure from future storms. Scott Gurian, reporter for WNYC and NJ Spotlight, is here to explain. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Brian.
This has to do with something called hazard mitigation grants the state is giving out. What are those exactly?
Right. So this is a fund from FEMA. It's called the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. And the specific fund that I was looking at was called the Energy Allocation Initiative. This is a $25 million pot of money for towns, municipalities, and other applicants around the state to apply for backup generators and other sorts of needs to make them more energy resilient to future storms. And as you said, this is not money to pay for repair of Sandy damage, but rather for resiliency measures looking forward.
And it's FEMA money, which means it's federal money, but the state government, the Christie administration, decides how it gets doled out around the state?
Yes, that's correct. After any federal disaster that the president declares, FEMA decides how much of this hazard mitigation grant money to give each state or each area. New Jersey got a total of about $290 million of this hazard mitigation money. And then FEMA pretty much leaves it up to the state how to distribute this money. There's kind of basic guidelines and rules that FEMA, you know, gives as far as types of projects that can and can't be funded. But in general, the FEMA gives the state broad discretion over where it wants to hand this money out and the specific criteria and ranking that it uses.
And so, for example, Hoboken wants money to improve the power system after the electricity went out during Sandy in critical places with no backup generators or generators that didn't work. Here is Fire Chief Richard Blome from your story describing a piece of what happened during the storm.
Our repeater system looks down on the rest of Hoboken. Well, when the power went out, their backup generator was supposed to kick in, and it did not. All of my fire companies were out, and I had no way of communicating with them.
Hoboken Fire Chief Richard Blome. So in Mayor Zimmer's State of the City speech this year, she said this.
Hurricane Sandy caused massive damage from flooding, but it also highlighted the vulnerabilities in our power system. So in addition to planning to protect the city from flooding, we are also preparing the city to be more resilient during power outages.
Seems to make sense. So what did Hoboken ask for in energy-related hazard mitigation grants, and what did it get?
So Hoboken applied for and submitted $1.7 million in requests for 12 generators around town for critical facilities like the police department, the fire department, a few shelters, and so forth. So that's $1.7 million they requested. The state took Hoboken's request along with the requests of all the other applicants and had this complex kind of ranking and scoring system that they used, looking at a variety of factors like the population density, the amount of money the applicant had received from FEMA after previous disasters. They crunched all these numbers. In the end, Hoboken received just $142,000 out of its $1.7 million request.
And in your piece, you compare Hoboken's hazard mitigation grant money to some other places that did not get as socked by Sandy and had no equivalent disaster histories, like Mount Arlington and Old Tappan, which got as much money as Hoboken did. What did you find?
Right. So when Mayor Zimmer first came out with her allegations saying, you know, that she had been shortchanged on the amount of aid money Hoboken had received, state officials released this long list of all the allocation amounts that various municipalities had received through this program. And a number of media outlets looked at this. They reviewed the list at the time. They reported that the amount of aid Hoboken had received was on par with many of these other places, and nothing looked all that suspicious. And at first glance, that's true. If you look at it, you know, it's true. But when you delve a little bit deeper, you find these weird examples and anomalies that just don't seem to make sense. Some of these places that had very little damage from Sandy or from previous disasters, much smaller, less dense municipalities than Hoboken, places like Mount Arlington, which has about 5,000 people in it receiving the same exact amount as Hoboken, same as Old Japan. And you find some places like Nutley, which received over $500,000, had some damage from Irene, but, you know, very little damage from Sandy, not a lot of, in the broad scheme of things, comparatively much less damage than some of these other places. Nutley received over $500,000. Atlantic City didn't get any money, nor did Belmar.
How do you explain Atlantic City and Belmar, which has a big flooding history, not getting any of this money that they applied for?
Right. Well, it's kind of tricky and complex. We obtained a copy of the internal score sheet that state officials have used. This was obtained by the New Jersey chapter of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility and passed along to WNYC. We looked closely at this. We had many discussions with state officials over the past month and a half. And so we've been able to take a close look at the ranking criteria that the state used and the number of points they assigned in each of these categories to each of these applicants. And there were a number of strange things with the numbers that we looked at, where certain applicants were not given the correct amount of points they should have gotten in particular categories, and where applications from different towns were treated in different ways. So you have an example like Hoboken versus Brick Township down the shore. There was a lot of confusion with the program. Different municipalities submitted their applications in different ways, but Hoboken and Brick both did it the same exact way, so it's kind of an apples-to-apples comparison you could make. They both submitted one single letter of intent for a number of different generators. They gave an itemized list along with that letter of intent. In Brick's case, they applied for 9 different generators, got a separate line item on the score sheet for 8 of those generators, the 9th one. I'm not sure why it wasn't on there, but they essentially had more chances to win out in the scoring versus Hoboken submitted this $1.7 million request for 12 generators. They only got 3 line items on the score sheet that were kind of grouped in these weird categories where the numbers didn't seem to add up, so they got less chances to win out in the scoring.
You report that you found dozens of errors and irregularities in the hazard mitigation grant score sheets that you obtained. Is that what you were just describing? I mean, you were just describing different ways that different cities filled out the grant applications, things like that. What would you call errors? What would you call irregularities? And do they hint at scandal?
No, I can't at this point go as far as calling it a scandal or, you know, I don't have hard evidence saying that there were politics involved, as Mayor Zimmer and some others have alleged. What I do have evidence of is that it was just a messy process. There seems to have been a lot of confusion all around. And when I'm talking about errors and irregularities, it was just the wrong number of points assigned in various different categories. We were able to obtain the source data that state officials say they had used to assign points in these various different categories, whether or not the municipality had an energy audit, for example. They would have gotten 20 points for that. So we got a list from the State Board of Public Utilities of all the municipalities that had conducted energy audits. And we found instances where certain towns or cities got credit when they never actually did audits or didn't get credit for having done audits. And these little amount of points, it doesn't seem like much, but in many cases, that was enough that could make the difference whether a town or city got hundreds of thousands of dollars more or less than it otherwise would have, because they had to reach at least an 80-point threshold in order to get any funding at all. So in many cases, they were shortchanged ever so slightly, and maybe they got 70 points instead of 80, so therefore they didn't get any money. Or they got just above that threshold, you know, they were guaranteed at least partial funding for their projects.
Well, since it's not just Hoboken that seems to have gotten shortchanged, but other places with extensive histories of flooding, as you report, like Atlantic City and Belmar, did their mayors also get on Governor Christie's naughty list somehow?
It's certainly Atlantic City. There's not a history of close relationship with the governor. Belmar, it's a bit of a tricky case. On the one hand, Belmar, Mayor Daugherty's wife, is a big kind of player in Democratic circles in Trenton. On the other hand, they've kind of had a sort of a close relationship, and the governor's made several visits to Belmar. So it's hard, at least from my standpoint, what I've found so far in my reporting, to draw kind of a direct line saying this was clearly because of political influence that these particular mayors didn't endorse the governor. Because for every example where I find that appears to be the case, or Republican leading towns that got more than they should have, I've found some counterexamples as well. So it's not a total black and white situation.
And didn't endorse the governor wouldn't be the only alleged political crime, right? I mean, what Mayor Zimmer did was not so much not endorse the governor, as she tells it, as refuse to endorse a particular development project for Hoboken that the governor's aide was representing. So it's, you know, there's a complicated score sheet of your own, I guess, that you would have to apply in order to draw these political cause and effect lines.
Right. That's true. And that's why I didn't feel comfortable totally going down that route, because it's hard to say, you know, to make my judgments from my standpoint, would this particular mayor have been on the governor's good side or bad side? As you know, there's a lot of kind of strange political alliances in New Jersey where there's a number of Democratic mayors who supported the governor in his bid for reelection and have a close relationship, certainly here in Essex County with County Commissioner Joe DiVincenzo. There are these close relationships that have been formed. So it's hard in New Jersey, I think, more so than other places to draw those lines.
So what your story seems to establish is that by objective criteria, Hoboken was shortchanged, at least on these energy infrastructure grants, compared to other places. It doesn't answer the question of whether it was political payback by Christie or his people to Mayor Zimmer, but the allegation that she was shortchanged, that Hoboken was shortchanged, seems to hold up by some kind of objective criteria.
That's correct. We'll you know, leave the reason that, you know, whether there are politics involved to the U.S. attorney and others to investigate. But for my part of the investigation, basically, we took Hoboken's requests and we did our own scoring. We created our own score sheet, scored Hoboken the way it would have been scored if it had been treated the same as many other municipalities, if it had gotten the correct number of points in each one of these categories. And according to our scoring, Hoboken, instead of getting 142,000, would have gotten nearly 840,000. So quite a big difference, a $700,000 difference.
We have just a few minutes left with WNYC's in New Jersey Spotlight, Scott Gourian, who did this investigative report into energy infrastructure hazard mitigation grants, that is, shoring up the power systems in places around the state for future Sandys and future such events, and how it looks like Hoboken got shortchanged, just as Mayor Dawn Zimmer has charged. And when we're done with Scott, we're going to take some phone calls for this Ash Wednesday on what you're giving up for Lent, and if you're participating this year for the first time in a while. There's this sense that with Pope Francis re-energizing certain groups of Catholics, that maybe people are coming back to the fold, or at least to some kind of practice in ways that you haven't been doing for a while. So we're going to collect your phone calls. You can start calling us now, because we'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. If you are giving something up for Lent, or if you are doing this for the first time in a while, are you walking around with some ash on your forehead for the first time in years? And does Pope Francis have something to do with it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can start calling right now, and we'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. In fact, did you see that article in the Times today about this new magazine? An Italian magazine that's starting, that's almost like a People magazine about the Pope. So he's got this rock star status. And I wonder how that's playing in the WNYC listening area. Are you participating in Ash Wednesday today for the first time in a few years? Are you being brought back in some way by this new Pope? It was just about a year ago that the papacy began, March 13th of 2013. So how about for you? Are you doing the ash on your forehead thing today for the first time in a number of years? And whether it's new for you or not, what are you giving up for Lent? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. But first, we'll finish up with Scott Gourian. Scott, what did the Christie administration say to you about this seemingly nonsensical scoring? Because you did get a response, right?
Yeah, I've got several different responses. They've admitted that they've said there were problems in the process. We had to crunch a lot of numbers. This was certainly susceptible to data errors, you know, data entry errors, that sort of thing. The biggest concern that they've had, their biggest response is that they're saying that this is not a final process. And to be clear, none of this money has actually been handed out yet. But the state's saying, after we brought this to their attention, they're saying, well, we're still kind of adjusting the numbers. We're going to, come out with revisions. But to be clear, they announced these allocations way back in October. And they put out press releases at the time. A number of these municipalities put out their own press releases saying this is how much the state has said that they're going to give us. There were some revisions that were made in December. The state made some adjustments with about two dozen of these 400 or so applicants who got awarded, gave them revised amounts. And then the applicants were told to go ahead and submit spending plans, detailed plans for how they intend to spend this money. And there have been, workshops for just kind of, all indications appear to be that the process is moving full steam ahead. And for the state to say now that, well, it's everything is still up in the air and we're still kind of, moving things around. It seems from all my investigation from people I've spoken to that the process is much farther along than they're saying it is. And of course now, now that we're bringing all this to light, I'm sure they will have to go back and adjust some things.
Yeah. That's an intriguing development, this mm-hmm. statement, on the part of Trenton that the process is not finalized when it appeared previously that it had been. So maybe this is a response to your investigation and they now see, oh my God, we either blew it through a bad process here or the political payback element of who's getting Sandy-related aid is starting to come to the surface. We better say this is all still being reexamined and maybe announce a revised list. Maybe you're causing this.
Well, I don't know if I could take credit for that. I'd like to think that my journalism is having an impact, but I it's hard to know what's going on behind the scenes and what's in the minds of these state officials. I just know from people I've spoken to and who've mostly spoken to me off the record, what they've told me is their sense of what's going on the inside. But it's state government, like any bureaucracy, it's large. There's a lot of people involved in it. It's hard to know exactly what's taking place.
Any indication that Hoboken might get a revised outcome?
That remains to be seen. I'm not sure. It's interesting. In all the response to Mayor Zimmer's allegations, the state put out a number of press releases saying, Hoboken got all this other aid from other sources. And they had a number of different responses. But one of the responses they never gave was this $142,000 is up in the air. It still might be adjusted. And you'd think if it was, they would have said that at the time. Well, she said she's gotten too little, but she could get more. She could get less. It's still up in the air. They never said that. As far as what they're going to do now, I'll be real curious to see what happens.
WNYC's and New Jersey Public Radio's and NJ Spotlight's Scott Gourian. You can hear or read the text of his full investigative report on Hoboken apparently getting shortchanged by the Christie administration on these hazard mitigation grants at WNYC.org. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'll tell people also they can read a much longer, in-depth article at NJSpotlight.com.
Great. And folks, we will take your Ask Wednesday calls right after this break. Have you come back to putting ashes on your forehead for the first time in a while this year, perhaps as a result of being inspired by Pope Francis? 212-433-WNYC, if that sounds like you. Or for anyone who's giving anything up for Lent, what is it? 212-433-9692. We'll take your calls right after this.